Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We'll speak to Fianna Fáil TD Robert Troy in just a moment, but I have People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central, Breed Smith, on the line now. Good morning, Breed.
Good morning, Claire.
I have a text here that says, here we go again with the just another couple of weeks talk. I'm listening to it for a year now. Where do you stand this morning on this? Do you think that the government has to keep restrictions extremely tight for another while, be that 7-8 weeks?
Well, first of all, I think a lot of politicians, including ourselves, will be looking to see the NPHET advice to get more detail on it, because we don't fully trust this government, given the record of their easing of restrictions before Christmas against NPHET's advice and getting sort of drip feed of what NPHET are actually saying. So I think we need to see that. I think there's a huge amount of COVID fatigue out there. And one of the reasons is that people are seeing contradictory and getting contradictory messages. On the one hand, you have a lot of personal restrictions on people's behaviour. And on the other hand, we see outbreaks in meat plants, for example. We've seen outbreaks on construction sites. We've seen breaches by employers insisting that workers go into work when they could be working from home. And we're not seeing policing of all of that. We've also seen, you know, the Beacon issue there where the vaccines were given to a private school. People are outraged by that, and the response to it is to have an inquiry conducted by the Beacon itself, when in actual fact, the Gardaí should be going up to the Beacon and knocking on the door and saying, we want to investigate what exactly happened here.
Yes, and people will know that was the response from the board of the Beacon last night, that they said they had hired an external person to carry out a review into exactly what happened. Clearly, that doesn't go far enough for you. But I mean, on construction, the pressure is coming on government to allow construction to resume, certainly house building. And the construction industry says that it is very, very safe and that the number of cases linked to construction has been tiny.
Well, they would, wouldn't they? I mean, Tom Parlin's consistently pressurising.
Like, we don't know otherwise, do we?
Well, we don't, Claire, and you're right, because we have a very poor tracking and tracing system in this country, and finding out exactly where the outbreaks are happening is something that we're not doing. And I think that has been shown. You actually did a good interview last week where you drilled down into that. That our tracking and tracing system leaves an awful lot to be desired, even at this stage into the pandemic. So we don't know, but what we do know is that we'll have thousands more workers, probably 15, 16,000 more workers, travelling up and down the country. And by their nature, construction workers travel from east to west, north to south, and they will be moving around the country to various sites. And that in itself poses a risk. So saying that things are safe, when clearly the logic is that there is more risk involved in this, is very damaging. I just think we need to show social solidarity is strong when we want people to continue to lock themselves into their communities.
So
and
then,
lock up their freedom.
If you're concerned about people travelling around the country, you must welcome these new checkpoints. People might have seen them. I saw one myself, which seemed to be newly constructed yesterday afternoon on the roads coming out of Dublin. You know, big checkpoints across the motorways, checking on people's movements. Now, Robert Troy, who we're going to speak to in a moment, questions whether they're the way to get community buy-in. But from what you've said, would you welcome them?
I don't think they're doing what they're supposed to do, and I don't think it's necessary. For example, I get stopped at them frequently, where are you going and going to work? But nobody ever says to me, could you work from home? Why are you going to work? Is it not possible for you to work from home? Now, I know the guards take their instructions from higher above them, but they aren't being told, for example, to go in and check out the meat plants, to shut down construction sites where there's problems, to check out the employments that shouldn't be happening in the way that they are. So I think that there's mixed messages coming from people. There's a lot of Garda presence in the communities. There's a lot of checkpoints. But people know that, on the other hand, there's another cohort that get away with it. And hundreds of thousands of people have travelled in and out of the country since January, since the lockdown became severe. And yet we've all been told you can't go outside your 5K limit. This infuriates people, and it breaks that idea that social solidarity is what's knitting the country together. It's not. There's a preference over economy and business as against people. So we have a hard lockdown that's not really working.
Is it up to the guards, though, to police that, pardon the pun, but to tell people that you should be working from home? Is it not up to government, to employers, to Robert Troy's own Department of Enterprise to drive that home?
Well, this is where we have a big problem, because the book gets passed, doesn't it? I mean, Robert Troy's own department is very, very under-resourced with inspectors, for example, to go into workplaces. We know that there's like probably only a dozen extra inspectors employed by the HSA, the Health and Safety Authority, which is supposed to oversee what happens in jobs since the pandemic began. There was, at one stage there was no unannounced inspections of the meat plants. They were all informed in advance. There's been some since, but they've been very inadequate. And the proof is in the pudding, because we've got about 36 meat plants with outbreaks, including in Robert's own constituency. And these are people who, again, no sick pay scheme for them. They're living in conditions that are overcrowded. None of these things have been addressed. We're about to open up the schools, more hundreds of thousands of people travelling around every day, and we haven't addressed the very functional issues in the school, like ventilation, like classroom sizes, all of those things that we had months to deal with, and we haven't done it.
Now, there are question marks as well over high-risk teachers, also pregnant teachers who
would
be expected to go back into the classroom on the 12th of April. Now, I'm not sure if those questions have been resolved yet, but do you think that it would be concerning if high-risk teachers were being asked to go back?
Well, I know high-risk teachers who are very concerned, and I know high-risk parents and family members who are very concerned about their own children having to go back as well. And if they don't go back, by the way, and people should know this, they get absolutely no support from the state, no online teaching, no backup, no support, because the position of Norma Foley and the department is your kids should be in school, regardless of the danger that might be in terms of potentially bringing home the virus to vulnerable family members. And the same fear is with high-risk teachers and teachers who are pregnant. So, and we repeatedly asked Norma Foley, are you going to force pregnant teachers to go back? She just wouldn't answer it. She wouldn't answer no. She wouldn't answer yes. And it's impossible to kind of politically deal with these issues. And it must be just as equally, and if not more, frustrating for the teachers and the parents involved.
And what about travel restrictions? We were talking about variants on the television programme last night, and there's a spike in the Brazilian and the South African variant in countries like Italy and France. They're allowed to travel freely into Ireland with a negative PCR test, no mandatory quarantine for those countries. Should that be changed?
Yeah, there was a very interesting article in the Sunday Business Post by an Irish doctor who works in Australia, and
Niall Conroy,
and he looked at this in detail, and he said the idea that the mutating strains are confined to our list of high-risk countries is nonsense. And he made exactly that point, Claire. These mutating strains are in France, they're in Germany, and in Poland, and there's frequent flying in and out and no mandatory quarantine from those countries. His absolute point was, it's not nice, nobody likes to do it, but we absolutely have to have quarantine of everybody coming into the country if we are to suppress the virus and stop these mutations spreading. We've been making that argument for ages, but even the limited mandatory quarantine that the government has allowed, it took them ages before they implemented it. It took nearly a month. So
okay.
These are the frustrations, and people are not stupid. They see this, they see all the travel that's going on while they're confined to 5Ks, while they're confined to not seeing family members. We need to address that to keep social solidarity and cohesion together, because despite all that, people have been brilliant. By and large, they have been brilliant in doing their best, but they're not. The response is, here's a hard lockdown. It's not working because there are sections of the economy that we've opened
all
up
right.
And we've played loose and free with.
All right. Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD, thank you for joining us. Getting some text messages in on the checkpoints. Emmett says the tailback on the N7 yesterday was crazy. Parents wanting to get home to spend some time with our children before they go to bed. Another says all the checkpoints look very good, but the Gardaí are not asking the hard questions about people's necessity to travel and the real reason for same. Well, I'm joined now by Robert Troy, Minister of State at the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment and TD for Longford Westmeath. You're sceptical about these checkpoints as well, would I be right in saying?
Good morning, Claire, and thanks for having me on this morning. Well, firstly, can I say I compliment the Gardaí for the work that they're doing and the work that they have done in policing the public health measures since they came about almost 12 months ago. The tweet yesterday evening was in relation to giving a voice to commuters by and large, who are people on the front line, who have, the people who engage with me certainly have had just finished up 8 and 12 hour shifts working in our health services, in our disability services, and were subjected to an hour, 45 minutes, an hour delay in getting home yesterday evening. Now, I do believe that checkpoints have a role to play in ensuring that we have are adhering to the public health guidelines. But I also think we have to ensure that we have a balanced approach. And I've myself,
you said that those checkpoints, the serious delays that they cause, they're not the way to get community buy-in.
I don't believe they are. As I said, I do believe checkpoints have a role to play, and certainly I've been through a number of checkpoints. I've been stopped at checkpoints.
But people are not supposed to be making non-essential journeys. People are supposed to be working from home.
That is correct. Where possible, people are meant to be working from home, and I and my department has engaged with the relevant bodies, IBEC, ISMI. They are advocating to their members to facilitate people working from home where it is practically possible. There are instances where people can't work from home. They're essential workers. They need to be able to get to work, and they need to be able to get home from work in a timely and efficient fashion. What I merely did yesterday evening was give voice to people, constituents who were frustrated by the fact that having completed a 10, 8-hour shift, wearing PPE gear, dealing in difficult circumstances, they were subjected to this delay. And
but not everyone works in the health service. You know, who is on the roads? Isn't that the question?
Who is on the roads is the question. We want to ensure that people, and the clear guidelines is that anybody who can work from home should work from home. I myself am working from home today. I rarely go to Dublin except in exceptional circumstances. Mm-hmm. And anybody that can do that should
but
be
if there
doing
were,
it.
If there were tailbacks on the roads yesterday, and we know that there were, is it not evidence that people were making journeys who shouldn't have been?
Well, that's an operational matter, and obviously the Gardaí will be able to furnish that information having conducted a checkpoint. But the point I'm making, Claire, is I have been to Dublin. I have been through checkpoints. I have seen how they can operate in a very seamless manner, where the Gardaí do stop cars. They do. I have the personal experience on three separate occasions of having been asked where exactly am I going, and for identification on my way to work.
Did you hear Breed Smith's point? You get asked where are you going, and you say you're going to work, and then you're told, "Yeah, off you go. That's grand." And there's no advice given as to, you know, can you work from home, or you should be at home. You know, Neffet are killed telling us not to be moving around the place.
That's not my personal experience, and as I said, I was stopped on a number of occasions. I was asked exactly where I was going and if I had any identification at Island Bridge going into Dublin around 10 o'clock one morning. So Gardaí are doing their job. The point about the message yesterday evening, the tweet about the message yesterday evening, and it is about having that conversation. How can we ensure that we continue to have public buy-in to the public health measures? And I think a simple thing may be, and again it's an operational matter, it could be for the Gardaí to conduct stage checkpoints whereby they're not allowing a huge tailback build up, where the checkpoints are carried out over a number of places, ensuring that, number one, the objective, which is to make sure anyone that shouldn't be on the road is, you know, sent back or given a caution or a warning, but also facilitate people who do need to be on the road, the people who are working essential retail, in health, in disability, that they're facilitated to go
and
work efficiently.
Why there was a change in the procedures yesterday with these new roadblocks across motorways leaving Dublin or going into Dublin?
Sorry, I didn't catch that clear.
Do you know why there was a change in the strategy yesterday, where we had these very big roadblocks, or checkpoints rather, appearing on motorways, which caused the delays yesterday?
I don't. That is an operational matter, and obviously...
But you were contacted by them. I mean, this did happen yesterday, didn't it?
I was contacted by by people who were affected by this, by people who were coming from Dublin yesterday evening. I know you, one of your listeners alluded to a checkpoint on the M7. I was contacted, as you would expect, by people who were coming from Dublin along the M4. And the point I'm making, and I'm bringing it back, and to be fair to the Gardaí, and I have personal experience of the good work that they are doing, they are checking to make sure that the people who are on the road need to be on the road. But where I feel it could be done more seamlessly is if there was multiple checkpoints along the road, thereby preventing a long tailback building up, facilitating people who are on the road, who have to be on the road in an efficient manner, but also intervening and ensuring that the people who don't necessarily on the road are forced to turn back, are cautioned, are warned not to do it again.
Okay.
Is important.
Yeah,
the road blocks, the checks are important, but I think we have to do it in a common sense approach.
Okay. Now, we're expecting this announcement later on today, and I don't expect you to preempt what the government is going to decide, but do you understand that very fine balance between social cohesion, bringing people along, and also protecting the health service from a fourth wave?
I think that's the balance that has to be got right, and you made a very valid point in relation to the need for social cohesion, the need to ensure that we continue to have community buy-in for the next number of weeks, because I looked at your programme last night, I listened to Professor Luke O'Neill, and I think, he never does he minimise the challenges or the seriousness of COVID, but he also is very reassuring, common sense, and gives hope to people. And he correctly, mentioned where we are in terms of our vaccination rollout, the positive impact that is having on the cohorts that has been vaccinated, how that is going to ramp up over the next number of weeks, and the impact that is going to have on enabling further easements of restrictions.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure, having said all that, I'm sure you're getting representations every day from people who want some lifting of restrictions so that they can get back to work, resume their business, resume their outdoor activities and so on.
I think what people want to see happening is a balanced, gradual easement of restrictions, because what we don't want to see happening is to lose the gains that have been made. And there has been huge gains made since Christmas in terms of the reopening of our national schools, children with a disability, special education back, leave inserts back, our preschools back opening fully. A lot has been achieved and the numbers have been suppressed a lot. We don't want to lose those gains. We have to acknowledge that we need to maintain social cohesion. And, when you listen to someone like Professor Luke O'Neill, when he said last night that there are things that can be facilitated now where there is very minimal risk, and that is enabling people go further than 5K, enabling people to carry out activities outside, golf, fishing, swimming, because people need that. And we do also need to see a resumption of economic activity, and we need to see that happening
in
a safe and controlled environment. And from my perspective, looking in, I don't see why we can't facilitate the safe reopening of click and collect. I think it's operated in a safe environment. And we do need to see construction getting back. Like Breach made a point about construction a moment ago, and when you challenged her, she was unable to back it up. There's no facts that construction is a hotbed for infections. And particularly when we're coming into the month of April and May, when a lot of construction can be carried out outdoors, and as Professor O'Neill said last night, activity outdoors is minimal risk.
So you'd want to see construction fully opened and click and collect services for retail?
What I would like to see is a clear roadmap, and I believe that's what's going to happen. To be fair to my colleagues who are in Cabinet and my colleagues who are serving on the Cabinet subcommittee, they have been engaged in extensive consultation, negotiation with NPHET, looking at and have access to much more information than I do. They're working on that. They're engaging with the collectively together this morning, and I've no doubt that the Taoiseach will come out and give a clear statement and strategy going forward later on today.
Just on the vaccine rollout and the controversy at the Beacon Hospital in relation to the private school, and we heard that in the Irish Daily Mail last week. The hospital board announced last night that they're going to conduct this review, which is headed up by an independent person. That doesn't go far enough, according to Breathe Smith. Do you agree with her?
I think what happened is a kick in the teeth to everybody. People are bitterly disappointed how this could happen. There are clear guidelines, there are clear protocols in place that people should be following.
So what should happen?
This wasn't followed. To be fair, Minister Donnelly intervened quite swiftly. From a political perspective, an intervention was made. It's now the responsibility. It is an independent company. They are taking action, and I hope that we will have consequences.
And you think that's enough,
do
you?
Investigation.
You think that's enough?
Well, it remains to be seen what the consequences are, and I'm not going to preempt what the investigation will unfold.
Mm-hmm. There was another option, though, that the board could have made a very firm determination about the CEO.
It's a private entity. It's not for me to intervene in the running of a private entity. Where government could intervene is in relation to suspending their administration of the vaccine. The government have done that through Minister Donnelly. So we have taken action where we could take action. This is a private entity, and it's not for me to dictate how a private entity runs their business.
Yeah, but it was a private entity who were entrusted to look after a state asset, which was the vaccine.
And as a consequence that they didn't look after it, according to the clear guidelines that was set out by the Department of Health, the Minister for Health took corrective action and did so swiftly.
All right. Robert Troy, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Fianna Fáil, Minister of State. Let's take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.